All right, good morning. Let's see. Okay, well, welcome to my presentation, Raising the Bar for Health Improvement, One Community and School at a Time. Again, I have no financial relationships to disclose. So this morning I'm going to talk to you about House Bill 2774 and my role in the implementation of this bill. So by the end of the day, I think you will be all fired up to go back to your communities to maybe do something similar by creating two new programs, Certified Healthy Communities and Certified Healthy Schools. I'm going to recommend that you apply the diffusion of innovation theory to the implementation of the health policy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what I think the implications of House Bill 2774 will be on the health of Oklahoma. As stated previously, I did my practicum at the Oklahoma State Department of Health and the Community Development Service. And I started this in August of last year and finished in March of this year. Some brief history about House Bill 2774. It was signed into law by Governor Brad Henry in May of 2010, and it had three sections in this bill. The first section was the Clean Air and Restaurants Act, which I didn't have any part of, the implementation of that. But the last two sections, Certified Healthy Communities and Certified Healthy Schools, was where I really focused my time and energy. So both of these programs, they're kind of similar. They each have three levels of certification, basic, merit, and excellence. And I'm going to abbreviate throughout the rest of the presentation CHC for Certified Healthy Communities. And the legislation appointed or had certain members of the legislature appoint five members to an advisory committee. And so these would be the members that would get together to look at information and decide what criteria would be on application for a Certified Healthy Community. And the legislation gave some suggested criteria. I'll give some examples of that. But it said not limited to, and I'll point out the importance of that in a minute. And then Certified Healthy Schools, this was a 9-member advisory committee, and it included obviously more school-focused individuals. And specifically, it followed the CDC's Coordinated School Health Program. So what's in this Coordinated School Health Program would be the criteria that would need to be on the application. So these were the examples listed in the legislation about criteria for Certified Healthy Communities. So, you know, you have your educational materials, talking about social host policies, biking trails, sidewalks, incentives for community mental health centers, and improved housing. These are just some ideas to get the committee members brainstorming about what it would take to be a Certified Healthy Community. And then for Certified Healthy Schools, following CDC's Coordinated School Health Model, I think most of us are probably familiar with that, but these are the 8 components: health education, staff wellness, health services, nutrition services, and family and community involvement. So just briefly about what I did with this implementation of the bill, I kind of researched best practices. In Oklahoma, we already have Certified Healthy Business, and so there's a group of individuals that look at criteria, what would it take to be a Certified Healthy Business, but there's nothing, or there's very few other community and state models for Certified Healthy Communities and schools, so I researched some of those. I did some key informant interviews with people that I was familiar with about what they thought it would take to be a Certified Healthy Community or school, because I thought it was important to see what people in the community really envisioned for something like that. And then I just tried to educate myself on, you know, the Coordinated School Health Model, because that was new to me before working on this practicum. And then with tracking the committee appointments, I don't know if you've ever worked with legislation before, but they set deadlines in the bills for when the meetings have to happen and when certain people have to be appointed. And ironically, the people that make the rules don't always follow them, and things happen. So there was a need to develop a spreadsheet to make sure that each of the 5 members of the Certified Healthy Communities and the 9 of the schools committee each got filled by the appropriate person designated in the legislation. Also, logistics was a huge part of my practicum. At the State Health Department, OSDH, the meeting rooms fill up like years in advance. And so trying to find a place that was open at the same time every month for several months in a row was slightly challenging, but we worked it out. And then communicating with committee members, these folks have regular real-time jobs, and this is something that is in addition to their everyday life. And so figuring out what method of communication works best for them, whether it's email or phone calls or, you know, stopping by their office at the end of the day just to chat with them, make sure they were aware of what's happening. And then the second bullet here, serving as a resource, I really enjoyed this part maybe the most. I'm a certified health education specialist, a CHES for those of you out there, and this is one of the areas of responsibility. And so I thought this was just great fun because I could take in all of this information that I was learning and then share it with people who weren't necessarily in the know about the certain issues. And then I kind of put a catch-all, being available to assist with tasks as needed. You know, it's the last part of our job descriptions these days, and so one of the things that fit into that was working with the Open Meetings Act. Something new for me. Now I always think about it when I have meetings at work. Does this fall in the Open Meetings Act or not? And I attribute that to this experience. Also, this is my fourth time to present this practicum presentation outside of when I was trying to graduate. But it's been a really great learning experience, especially the poster presentation. I kind of turned this into a poster for the Oklahoma affiliate of APHA. And I also presented a webinar, which if you have never done a webinar, you should really do it. And the American Association for Health Education, the AAHE for me, that's the student part of it. And so if you're not involved, I'd recommend getting involved with them. And I just emailed the lady and said, I'd like to present. And she said, sure. And so I highly recommend that. It's great fun. So some history about Oklahoma. We are this very top, it looks yellow on here, bar. Oklahoma's consistently had very poor health status. In 2009, we were ranked 49th in the nation, and in 2010, we were 46th. So we were super excited to have gone down three notches, but it's still really bad when you look at the other states in our region, especially Colorado, who is consistently in the lower quadrant. And so the fusion of innovation, I think, really applies well to this legislation. And just a brief overview, it was created by Rogers, and the diffusion in this instance would be, how are we going to get the word out about certified healthy communities and schools? It's a new innovation that for these programs would be the idea or practice or object that we're trying to diffuse. So what communication channels do we need to go through? How are we going to get the word out? Because Oklahoma is a very large state. We have the panhandle all the way to southeastern Oklahoma, and it's, I think, roughly 500-600 miles. I mean, it's a long ways. So overall, my practicum was a great experience. I think it's one of those real-life, applicable sort of practicums that you actually work on something that's going to be useful and used in the future and not just number crunching and sitting behind a desk. And I really enjoy the fact that, you know, there's political desire to improve the health of Oklahoma since we've been consistently very unhealthy. Hopefully these programs will get people to think more about health in every facet of life. Also, as mentioned previously, Certified Healthy Business was kind of a model for these two programs. So several of the advisory committee members worked with Certified Healthy Business, so they had that those lessons learned about what works and what didn't work quite so well. And then the committee members were very passionate, and that was a plus because they knew their part of the field, you know, very well. And then these expert advisors, these were not committee members, but they were people in the state that really had that expertise that the committee members lacked. And so they would come into the committee meetings and just offer assistance, you know, provide background information about each of the suggested criteria. Also, this was a great opportunity to not unify all the certification programs, and that's what this little brochure is all about. There's now, if you'll just kind of open it up, on the right-hand side, we have certified healthy schools, communities, business, restaurant, and campuses, which the certified healthy campuses was not something I worked on, but it kind of came out of the certified healthy communities and schools legislation. However, interestingly or not, there was no tobacco criteria included in the legislation. Oklahoma is one of two states that does not, or that still has preemption on the books. That means that state law supersedes any local ordinances over tobacco. And so I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, but since it's so controversial, that would be why it was omitted from the legislation. Another weakness, I guess, would be, you know, the committee members are busy, and no fault of their own, but we all are busy. And they also have their own personal agendas, and not that that's a bad thing, but when you get lots of strong-willed people in a room, it makes coming to a consensus more challenging. But it, you know, it all works out in the end. And again, the legislation, there's no theoretical framework. It just sounds like a good idea, and it had been done with Certified Healthy Business, so why couldn't it be done for Certified Healthy Communities and Schools? And then there's no incentive for participation. In the legislation, there's a very brief segment that talks about incentives for schools if they reach basic merit or excellence. However, it says if the funding is subject to, you know, appropriation. So, you know, if there's any money appropriated for this part of the program, the schools could get some funding. But, of course, we're all in a budget deficit, so there is no funding for that. And then the target populations for communities and schools were very vague. And I think that was probably a good thing so that the committee members could get together and talk about, well, what is a school? Is it a private school? Is it a public school? Is it a charter school? Is it alternative school? And look at the communities either by population or urban and rural, because it's, you can't judge people and score, you know, apples to oranges. So my recommendations to the committee, you know, including tobacco-related criteria, I think that was an obvious for everyone who was involved. Finally, we got a constant meeting schedule, which really helped things flow more smoothly. The first two meetings were extremely rocky, and not even half of the committee members were present. I think it'd be important for the future and for other communities or states that look at something like this to really have a clear understanding at the very beginning what the roles of the community members are, I'm sorry, the committee members and the expert advisors, so that people know who actually makes the decisions, who votes on what the criteria will be, and who is just providing information as kind of a spectator. Also, you know, providing some intrinsic and extrinsic incentives. I'll touch base on that in just a minute. And then defining what a community school is and implementing the theory. So the diffusion of innovation, if you just think about it, what this new program is and how we're going to get it across, it needs to be something that people think is advantageous to their community and school. So, you know, think about why would a community and school want to be certified healthy? Is it because future funding may depend on it? And when you look at the criteria, you don't want to make them so challenging that people can't achieve them, but you don't want to make them too easy to where everyone is going to be certified healthy. Then it's not something that's special and something that makes you stand apart from the crowd. And then also, since this is the first year, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the reception is of communities and schools across the state. I think so far it's been very well received, but it'll be interesting to see how it kind of flows throughout the years to come, if it's something that is replicated in maybe other states, and looking at the success of it here in Oklahoma. And so when you think about the bell curve, I really encourage everyone to focus on the innovator communities and schools. So in Oklahoma, for the schools, we have Oklahoma A-plus schools, we've got Blue Ribbon schools, we've got schools that are involved in the Alliance for a Healthier Generation. Oh, wow. So it makes sense to focus on those schools first. I'm going to skip through this. I was timing myself. And just to wrap up, there has been quite a well-received group of communities and schools, 23 communities, 18 schools, 128 businesses. So those will be announced in December, who those recipients will be, and they'll be recognized March 1st. And again, you have a copy of the present or the brochure. There's the poster, some websites for you, and the references. All right, thank you.